to you before we get into the service proper. We got a hold of John Ritchie's obituary, I think that is, or thanks. So I would just like to read that before we get into the service proper. This is for John Alexander Ritchie, or as he used to say, I'm a jar, John Alexander Ritchie. The wife and family of the late John Ritchie would like to thank all those who expressed sympathy and condolences to them in their sad bereavement. To those who gave gifts, flowers, sent cards, phoned, and to those who gave to Bethel Baptist Church and the dementia charities in lieu of flowers. I'd also like to thank the staff of A&E, Ward 24 and Ward 40 of Abergavenny Hospital for their care throughout his last illness. To our neighbours who helped with hospital visits, our thanks to Dr. Carroll and the staff of Bridge Street Medical Practice for the continual care of John and to the carers who attended John on Friday mornings. Special thanks to Pastor Mark and Monica Bradfield and those at Bethel Baptist Fellowship for their friendship to John, which enriched his final years, for their spiritual and practical support to the family while John was in hospital, and the comforting funeral service in the church and at the graveside. Thanks to the Reverend LaSalle Curran and the Reverend Julian Patterson for their pastoral care. Finally, we would like to extend our gratitude to David and Ruth Hay for the dignified manner in which the funeral was conducted. We trust this will be an acceptable token of our appreciation. So, Christine asked me to read that to everybody, and she wanted to express her thanks for every conversation that anyone ever had with John, because it helped him immensely. It helped him immensely. So, just wanted to share that with you and thank you all. You just never know what a wee word or a laugh or a smile is going to mean to somebody. So thank you very much for that. Right, let's begin with a word of prayer and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and for life and health and strength. I pray your good hand upon us, Lord, and not us only, but Lord, on Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington, for Kate and Sally, for Evelyn and Henry, for Stephen and Anne Marie and her dad, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, and of course, Lord, for Norman and his family. We just pray your good hand upon them, upon us, upon Esther, upon Pat and Steve, for Will too, and for Frank. We miss all those our brethren, and pray that you would watch over and keep them. Be one of our number, Lord, we pray. You just take this time to comfort and strengthen and to lift up and to touch, and Lord, to open our understanding a wee bit more. Thank you for all the gifts, for the blessings, for the answered prayers, and for each soul that's here. We love you and praise you. Amen. 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 I am. You know what? Let's turn to number 5 in our wee book, and we'll sing The Lord's My Shepherd. Hymn number 5. Number 5, The Lord's My Shepherd, I shall not want. It might be number 6 in your book. Is there a technical problem? I'm not blaming anybody, but I am pointing at my wife.
She only got her book wrong.
The quiet one.
right, you can put those little books away. We're going to go to near the back to where we do our Christmassy songs, if you want to call it that. And we'll do one we haven't done for a little bit, 422, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. 422 in the big fat books. Norman, are you good to go?
Amen. Thank you.
Sorry.
This evening's reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet if I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not, you should be ashamed, and in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, the same time be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to as he purposes of his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, through all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving of God. For the administration of the service not only supply the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. Amen.
All right. Just want to remind everybody of the little pink prayer lists. Make sure you have one, please. If you do intend to call out anybody's name in prayer, please take one of these. That way you don't have to remember all the names of all the people. I just want to skip right to the very end of the prayer list and thank everybody for their prayers. As you can see, the man with the glasses got here safe and sound. That man with the glasses. And he's been taking it easy and resting, drinking tea, reading papers, and falling asleep in front of the fire. And if it wasn't for him, we would have a lot more food in our cupboards and no room for any of the stuff that Monica is preparing for Thanksgiving tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to a few more days with my dad before he heads back to Portadown. So please do pray about that. Are there any other prayer requests we need to remember, or any other names we need to call out? Any other folks we need to be praying about? Okay, is anybody a private prayer request that they'd like to make? No. 1, 2. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Don't forget, just because Esther and Pat and Steve's not here, don't forget to pray for them. And to, if you have a phone, give them even a wee ring. They'd be more than happy to hear from you. And don't forget to pray for each other too. We live in interesting times. We must certainly pray for our country, for America at this particular time as well. There's a lot going on there. Who would have thought that there would be? What was it? I heard the other day that this Antifa brigade was actually threatening to go and shoot people that were trying to escape from them for blocking the roads and possibly taking their vehicles. So There's a lot going on. I was going to say, who would ever have heard of that in a country? But sure, we've had about 40 or 50 years of that. Please do pray for folks in America. And do bear in mind those also that have lost loved ones. And I just want to draw your attention back to Taylor Roth. That's Brother Christie's intended, all being well, is going to be travelling over here, Lord willing, in 4 weeks' time, isn't that right? So we're praying for the laws and the lawmakers and the enforcement of them to be at such a point where she is able to travel without any trouble and get up to visit with us for a few days over Christmas. And when I say visit with us, I mean with Christie. Us corporately, Christie in particular. So please do pray for Taylor. Please do pray for Dr. Yang as she travels to Dublin, all being well again, next Friday for, I know this sounds odd, but an English exam. It sounds funny that someone of our age should be going for an English exam, but this is to do with work, so please do pray for her as she studies and as she travels for that. We'll be travelling with her, and so pray for us too. Or should I say, pray for the ladies, seeing as I'll be doing the driving. But I think that's about that. Do continue to pray for Will, of course, too, and his mom, Christine. It hasn't been that long since John has gone home to eternity. As you know from the wee bit of the obituary, if that's indeed the thanks that Christine handed on to us, the whole family, and not just Christine and Will, but the whole family was very, very pleased for John to be one of our number the last couple of years of his life. They were very disappointed in their own church, but they were very pleased that there was someone there to catch John and to be there for John, to be his church family. So please do pray for them. Christine's not, she's been a bit off colour of late, so please do pray for that in particular. And of course, don't forget Pat and Steve. Steve's still having a lot of troubles with his leg. I don't know if any of you are on Facebook, but he posted a picture of his leg on Facebook, and it looks painful, so please do remember that too. I can't think of anything else. There are a lot of other things on there and going on in the world. Just remember to always pray for and be good to the children of Israel, the Jews, because God says, if you're good to them, I'll be good to you. And don't be backwards and coming forwards to thank the Lord for all that he's done for you. So it's very, very important. Amen. I appreciate the reading that Norman brought and Steve's hand in it. You can sort that out with him later. And we appreciate the prayers and all the help, and we appreciate each one of you being here. Don't forget Carol. She's having a wee bit of difficulty with her eyes right now, and that's been a bit of a bother to her, so please do pray for her. I think that's about that. Christine, you be okay to lead us? Know your word of prayer? Thank you, brother.
We are thankful for this day, for goodness, for every blessing, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, for the liberty still to come into your house, this land, and these times. Lord, we're thankful to be here tonight. Lord, we ask your hand upon each one here. Lord, a blessing upon the preacher's best as he guides and leads us in the service tonight in worship. Lord, we pray those that couldn't be here especially, that Lord, you just give a touch to those that need healing, Lord, and Lord, a soft word to those that need a bit of comfort, Lord, and those that are fighting seven battles, Lord, that you render in any situation. Remember the prayer request, I think especially on the private prayer request, Lord, that you would provide the situation, Lord, and just give victory to your children in this world in these days. Help our country's leaders in these times too, Lord, just accomplish your will, Lord, please. Save the lost souls that we know and amongst our family, amongst our friends. Use us, Lord, as light in this darkness. Draw back the backslidden brethren as well, we pray. Bless the message, Lord, and the preacher. Guide and lead. Teach hearts and minds here amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. And there was one more that I didn't mention. Is that Dennis Johnson, isn't it? That was mentioned on the prayer list a couple of weeks ago, was it? That he was admitted to hospital with, well, COVID-19. he is home, but he's at home with oxygen. So some difficulties there. Please do remember to call out his name. Even if you don't know what it's for, the Lord does. Please call names out to in heaven. Amen. Right, take the big hymn books. Take the big hymn books. And let's do 121 this evening. 121, Like a River Glorious. If you're able, stand as we sing. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to our Bibles now. If you would like to take and turn to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, in the very beginning of your Bible, well, three books in, Leviticus chapter 23 this evening, if you would like to take and turn there, and turn to verse number 33. I'm going to read about 11 or 12 verses, Leviticus 23, verse 33, right the way through until the end, verse 44. I'm glad you're here. I know there are a lot of things that clamour for our attention and demand our efforts, but I am glad to see each one of you here. Please do pray for each other. I know we keep saying it, But this is where Christians fight their wars on their hands and knees. Yes, there have been times when Christians have been called to fight wars, and that's true too, but the real wars are fought on hands and knees. In the book of Revelation, I think it was the last verse of chapter 18, says, "And in her," that is false religion, "was found the blood of all the slain of all the earth." So bear that in mind. Every single person that's been murdered is because someone believed something other than the Bible. Every single person that has died violently is because somebody didn't believe what the Bible said. So that's where we fight. We fight on our hands and knees in the hallways of heaven for the hearts of men. Leviticus 23, I trust you're all there now, beginning at verse number 33. This is the word of the Lord. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the 1st day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the 1st day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord." Amen. Verses 42 and 43 are our particular text this evening. I want to speak for a little while on the subject of remembering. Remembering. We'll pray briefly and then we'll get stuck in. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for loving us and watching over us, for the freedoms that we have to gather together, to meet with you, to fellowship, to sing your praises, just to hear what you have for us on any given day. Please bless this preaching and this time together. Lord, I pray that the songs and the tithes and the offerings and the fellowship and everything that has gone on here would be acceptable to you, would be done the way you want it to be done. And not just here, Lord, but I think also in Brother Stan for tomorrow night and all the other days that he's meeting with the folks in the church up there and preaching and teaching. I pray, Lord, that you would inspire him. And not him only, Lord, but all of our brothers that stand to lead churches and to serve you, and sisters too. Please, Lord, I pray you, be one of our number. Be our teacher, our leader, and our guide. Be our chastener. Be our advisor. Lord, we're just going to leave this at your feet. Pray that you would grant our prayer requests for the service. As well as that, Lord, our prayer requests for brethren that are here and absent. For those that are lost, Lord. And for those that are struggling. And even, Lord, for those at the top of the mountains. just pray that you would watch over each one of us. Please deliver your children in countries that are just not friendly to the gospel, Lord. Please give them divine deliverance and provision. And Lord, I thank for us as well. Love you and praise you and ask all this in your name and according to your will. Amen. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of remembering this evening, just for a little while, and we want to look at verses 42 and 43, where it says, and this is what God said to Moses, I want you to tell the people this, that for 7 days, and I don't know, it shall be a statute forever in the seventh month, for 7 days you will dwell in booths. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That's tents for you and me. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. As we read now, I am not going to stand up here and say I love reading in the book of Leviticus, because sometimes it's hard work. Doesn't mean to say that it's not enjoyable work, but it is hard work because God is laying down the law. And if you want an idea of how that reads, think of your favourite book or paper and how you like to read through the news articles, find out what's on TV or satellite, and find out how your favourite sports team is doing. That's your newspaper. Or maybe you read a series of books where your favourite character gets to describe all his antics, and then take and read the Highway Code, and that'll give you an example of what it's like to read Leviticus, maybe to some of the other books in the Bible. It can be a little bit dry, but it's worth reading, because the Lord gives us time and time again the reasons for the laws that he gave. Many of them were for health reasons. More of them were for spiritual reasons or heart reasons. Some of them were food reasons. And some of them were God's reasons. In other words, to remember God. And that's what this particular one is. God says, we're going to have a feast, but we're going to have a time set aside from the world. We're not going to be living, even whenever we live in our houses. I want you to take a week, 7 days, and I want you to get a tent, and I want you to live in that tent for 7 days, all the time. We're not doing any work. You're just going to be eating. You're going to be thinking about me. And the reason for it is so that you remember the great deliverance that I gave you when I delivered you from the land of Egypt. God wanted the children of Israel to remember how he delivered them. Not the false gods that were in Egypt. Not the cruelty they suffered in Egypt. Not the different foods that they had in Egypt. Not even the 40 years in the desert that was their chastisement for not believing God after they'd been delivered from Egypt. I want you to remember God's deliverance. That's what God wanted the children of Israel to remember. We're setting aside a time to do nothing else but remember the deliverance. And I want for us to think for a minute. God just didn't spring up from behind a hedge one day and say, right, everybody, we're taking a week off. He didn't say that. Everybody read that, didn't he? He said, it's in the seventh month and we're going to take a week, and this is what we're going to do. He didn't spring it on them by surprise. He said, this is when it's going to happen, so that what? So that you can be ready. So that you can do any work that needs to be done before that. So that you can prepare food for that. It's a bit like church, really, when you get to thinking about it. God gave them plenty of notice, and he told them the reason why, so that people could prepare themselves. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know the amount of preparation that you have to do to get to church. I am not saying anything about your clothing choices or your makeup or your shampoo or whether you shaved or not, but I have to do a fair bit of work for every service, and I know Christy has to do a fair bit of work. It's not just half an hour's work. It's not just writing down the words that need to be spoken here for the half hour or three quarters of an hour that the person's standing here. There's study, there's thought, there's a preparation of the heart and the mind. And that's why God gave us everything in writing. And that's why the Lord said to Moses, this is when it's happening, so people can be ready. People have problems when they forget God. And that means Christians too. Christians have problems when they forget God. And that is why we need to remember God. And we need to think about him, because God will keep us right. I want to throw a hypothetical? That's not the word I'm thinking on, but a rhetorical question or two out your way. And if we were asked to remember by God, if God said, I want you to remember, you that are saved, what do you think the rest of that verse would entail? What do you think he would ask us to remember, Christian? Do you think he would ask us to remember the last time we were out at a pub? Honestly, what do you think? The answer would have to be no to that. Do you think he would ask us to remember the last time we told a bawdy joke, a dirty story? Do you think God would ask us to remember those things? No, I don't think he would either. Do you think he would ask us to remember a drug addiction? Or the last time we had a good toke on a cigarette? No, I don't think he would. Do you think he would be asking us to remember the best video game we ever played? Or the best football match? Or rugby or cricket or whatever it happens to be match that your favourite team played? I don't think he would be asking us to remember that either. What about the last time you jumped out of an airplane, hopefully with a parachute? Do you think he would be asking you to remember that? I tell you what, those things I am sure do not soon be forgotten. But do you think God would need for you to remember how you jumped out of a plane with a parachute or off a bridge with a bungee cord tied round your ankles? Do you think God would be asking you for that? Do you think he would be asking you to remember the last time you spent a night in a stranger's bed? Or the last time you looked at some filth on the TV? Do you think he would be asking us to remember any of the things that people use to fill up the space in their lives that really should be taken up by the Holy Ghost? I don't think so. Do you think it would be asking us to remember all the pain and upset that we went through before we chose Christ as our Savior? The failing time and time again to stop that ache, that missing piece, that thing that souls that never hear about God can't quite put their finger on. Do you think God would want us to remember those times? He wants us to think about them whenever we're in the thick of them, just before we get saved, whenever all of the sins that we have committed are laying heavy on our hearts. Do you think he would want us to remember that forever, all the time? I think not. Do you think that he wants us to remember all the things that we did to try and get away from him whenever he was speaking to us, whenever he was dealing with our hearts? I don't think so either. Because no matter how fast you run, even if you're like Quicksilver or that little incredible guy, the wee short guy, Dash, and you can run at the speed of sound and you can run over water, you go that fast. You can't run from God. Even the guys that are going to end up on the Mars program are still not going to be far enough away to avoid judgment by God. Do you honestly think God is going to want for us to think upon all the times we hurt people and even ourselves for the way we behaved? I can certainly remember those days. And I am sure the devil tempts us to live those days. But God doesn't want us to be living in those days. He just wants us to remember our deliverance from them. I'm sure he would want for us to remember how he convicted us of our sins. This is for the soul that's looking for Jesus. I am sure he would want for us to remember whenever we turned up at the foot of the cross, eventually giving into that conviction and waving the white flag of, is it surrender? Or is that truce? I can't remember. Waving the surrender flag and just saying, you know what, God, I can't fight you anymore. I can't go on the way I'm going. I need you to take away this restlessness, this missing part. Not to take away a missing part, but to fill in the part that's missing. I think he would want for us to remember, or at least consider, that we were a hell-bound sinner. That we were due nothing in this world except damnation and suffering, now and in eternity, for the breaking of his laws. I think he would want for us to think upon that. I think he would want for us to remember that we were due nothing else but separation from God. That we are not owed anything. That we were blindly groping through our lives trying to make sense of it all after making mistake by mistake. I think he would want for us to remember that for all of the things that the world, the flesh and the devil did, and all of the things that we tried, whenever we came to Jesus Christ, we found he was able to deliver us. I think he would want for us to remember the words that we spoke. Not word for word, but you know what I mean about, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for my sins. Would you please save me? I think he would want for us to remember those words. Or remember the belief in our hearts whenever we trusted Christ as our Savior. The peace that we had when the burden of our sins was taken away and the conviction stopped. And even more, the assurance whenever we read our Bibles, whenever we sat in church. He would want for us to remember that. He would want for... I remember being saved right after the service. And I felt like I was only half my weight. I remember jumping up and down off of walls the whole way home after I got saved. Now, they were only wee walls. I'm not bionic now. They were only those wee walls with the bits of concrete on them. But I remember that. I think God would want for us to remember the fact that whenever we got saved, instead of coming to a dead end, our lives opened up. And new possibilities were made available to us simply because we trusted Christ as our Savior. I think he would want for us to remember the day that we met him as a friend. Well, as well as Savior. Imagine people say, one of the things that Rita used to say, whenever she was talking about the people that she had met, she used to say, I have a friend. And then she would go on to tell you about this friend and the things that they used to do together and the things that they used to talk about. And she used to take joy in talking about her friends because they were good friends and helpful friends. I think God would like for us to remember that he is our friend. And as long as we stay his friend, things are just going to go from good to better, if that's even a thing. I think he would want for us to think on that and to remember it. I think he would want for us to remember all the times he calls us and speaks to us and answers our prayers. I remember God speaking to me at the front of the church when he said, Mark, I said to him, Lord, there must be more to this Christian life than just turning up at church and going out and doing a wee bit of outreach once or twice a week. And God said to me, you could preach. He literally showed me a door with preaching on the sign. And my answer was, if you help me. And he has helped me ever since. I remember praying about being called to pastor. That just wasn't so clear cut, but here I am. I remember praying about going into full-time service, and the Lord spoke to me and showed me full-time service and the way to get there. I think the Lord would want for you to remember the first time you ever spoke to a soul about this, about their soul, contending, and the thrill that that brings. I think God would want for you to remember that. I think the Lord would like for you to remember that you can depend upon Him. No matter what situation you're in, whenever you're put on the spot, so to speak, that He will always give you the words to say. Talk about living by faith and not having a script. I think He would want for you to remember the joy, not in winning thousands to the Lord or pastoring a church with 500 people, but in obeying God. Whether that's just getting up and reading your Bible or calling out a few names in heaven, there is a joy to be had in that, and knowing that you have done what God asked you to do. He's not asking you to build a rocket to the moon. That's rocket science. He's asking you to speak to the man that made the moon and keeps it spinning around the earth. I think He would like for you to remember, and this one seems a bit contradictory, He would like for you to remember the little niggles and the little pains whenever the earth, the world, the flesh and the devil take stuff from you. And then the joy when God reveals to you something that's 100 times better to take their place. God wants for us to remember those things, because all of those things that God has done for you and me, we can use to speak to people and point them in the direction of the cross. Those are for us to look back whenever the clouds come in dark and the thunder and lightning flashes like one of those old haunted house movies. And we can't see our friends, and we don't seem to be able to see very far, and there's no sunshine and everything looks very bleak. We can think back on those things. Hey, I am saved. Yes, I am in a tight spot, but I am saved, and Jesus keeps me in the palm of His hand. Even should I forget that, Jesus keeps me in the palm of His hand. Is God ever going to work in my life again? Well, He got me here and He's answered so many prayers. I am sure He's not called the author and finisher of our faiths for nothing. He that started a good work will complete it. And you know what? This is the one that none of us really like. I think God would like for us to remember that He's not going to let us go off the rails. That He will give us a sore behind if we're not careful. Lift us up by the sideburns or the ear. He will do that for us. And if we ever find ourselves, because of our behaviour, being left by God or chastened by God, we ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking time to keep me right. Thank you for stopping me in my tracks and pointing me in a different direction, because otherwise it could lead me to rack and ruin. I am sure there's a bunch of other stuff. We need to remember what God has done for us. And not just as that it is said in the Bible that eating bread is soon forgotten. I think that's in Proverbs somewhere. We shouldn't be like that. We don't just get that everything, we expect God to do everything for us, and as soon as He does something for us, we treat Him like, well, you were supposed to do that, that's nothing. That's not the way we should behave. We need to think kindly and fondly and reverentially about the God that gave His life on the cross for us. About the God that sits on the right hand of God our Father in heaven, who intercedes for us, not only gave his life for us on the cross in this world, but until time is no more, he is going to spend the rest of his time in heaven fighting our corner against the devil who comes pointing the finger at us. His work is not done. His work on our salvation is complete, but his work on our lives is nowhere near it. These are the things that build faith. When we remember what God has been pleased to do for us and continues to do for us, we will learn to appreciate him and to lean on him, not to trust in our own understanding, but to lean on the Lord, and he will bring these things to pass. I was thinking just as I was finishing off the message that we live in the days when people want stuff in their hands. We want to have stuff because if we have stuff, we feel successful. We like to surround ourselves with things because it's almost like insulation from want or cold or hunger or whatever it is. But God said, don't. He didn't say don't be rich. He said don't look to your riches for your salvation, for a meaning in your life. Look to him. Look to him. I mentioned it earlier on about the battleground and indeed the playground of the Christian. It's in people's hearts. It's where all our actions originate. It is where God saves us. He doesn't save our bodies. He saves our souls, or the us, that the heart, the mind that we refer to during the Bible. The heart is where all of our actions originate. And that is where the Lord saves and works. And it's where, from time to time, we need to do a wee bit of gardening. Pull the weeds and cultivate the flowers. That is where God needs for us to work. And that is where our memories are held. That is where our experiences are. And we need to remember those things. One last thing. God wants for us to remember that we're ambassadors in this world. This isn't our home. Our home's heaven. God wants for us to remember that great deliverance. The devil I can almost see the devil putting his hand up. I'm not talking about you, Christy. But I can almost see the devil putting his hand up at the back of the class saying, excuse me, sir. That's why I'm saying it's not you, Christy. It's at the back of the class. You know the kid that puts their hand up at the back of the class for a stupid question? Excuse me, sir, but what about all those things you used to do and the way you used to live and the filth that used to come out of your mouth and the places that you used to go and the lives of the people that you have ruined or at least hurt? Devil wants you to remember all the sin and all the badness. And whenever he does that to you, in the words of the quote, whenever the devil reminds you of your past, you just help him remember his future. How do you remember the future? You look at the back of the Bible, because that's where it's written. And you know what the future of the devil is? Revelation 20. Locked up for 1,000 years, fuming and grinding his teeth, as everybody gets a chance to live a life free from the devil. For 1,000 years, to see God. To see God's children glorified, immortal, indestructible. And then let go for a little while, just before he is thrown into hell in the lake of fire. And just like it says, I think it's in Isaiah 14, or it's around there somewhere, he is going to suffer in the lake of fire, just like every other soul that has rejected God. He is going to suffer, and people are going to say, is this the man that caused nations to tremble? Is this the man that tortured us, that tempted us, that ruined our lives when we listened to him? And he's just become like one of us. Nothing at all. When he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. But above all, just remember that God loves you and gave his son Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross of Calvary. And if you want a future in heaven with God, with his son, with the Holy Ghost, that you'll be able to see face to face with all of his holy angels, with all of the souls that trusted in Christ and have gone on before you, then you just remember. Remember to ask him to save you. And remember that he did. If you want a future in hell in the lake of fire, well, you don't have to do any of the things we spoke about today. But I wouldn't go there for anything. Please remember. You know, if I was the pastor that was fit for an hour of a sermon, I would say one of the things that you need to do is remember God's word and commit it to your heart, and that'll help you a lot here. But I didn't write any notes for that down, so I'm not going to spend any time on that this evening. Remember what God has done for you, what he continues to do for you. And he will continue to do that for you. As long as you're hoofing it about in this earth, he'll be fighting your corner. But remember, just remember. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I'll take a request for a closing hymn if anybody has one. Just shout a number out if you have one at hand. Black book or red book? Pardon?
We sang it once. But if you're not game, that's okay.
Quick, somebody else give me a number.
You were humming it the other day.
Was I? Yeah, we'll try 111. I can't remember the tune, but there you go. 111, Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. I'm going to put in an extra verse as well.
We're going to listen to a verse.
Yeah. Stand as we sing. There comes to my heart one sweet strain. Sweet peace.
of God's love. Peace, 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 wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. In Jesus for peace I abide, and as I keep close to His side, there's nothing but peace doth betide. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love.
Amen. Well, thank you all for your good time, for your attention, for your long suffering and your patience. I know it's been a busy day, but I appreciated being here and looking forward to a wee bit of fellowship afterwards. Christy, would you just pray for us, brother, and dismiss us, please, if you would.
We are thankful again today for goodness, Lord, for salvation, Lord, for taking our place at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of things that we should remember, right? Lord, for the message that you gave the preacher and his delivery, Lord, please help him with the shoulder, Lord, and his general preparation as well, Lord. Be with Pat and Steve. I think of Steve with his legs. The gases on his legs, Lord. With Nana with her skin condition too, Lord. Remember Leonard up in the home. Be with the Ritchie family at this time, Lord. With Norman and with the family at the end of the road as well. Recently lost her father, I pray.
Yes, Lord.
I remember all those that are grieving. I pray for a touch of comfort. Lord,
yes,
those
Lord.
That are seeking, Lord, reveal yourself to them and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, God bless you. Tiptoes, touch elbows, just whatever.